Time now for hour number two of our big two-hour weekend get-together here on A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and of course, Carol Marks is the host of the program, and let's kick it off right now with Carol in conversation with Dr. Martin Blaser. He's the director of the Human Microbiome Program at New York University, and he's the author of a new book titled Missing Microbes, How the Overuse of Antibiotics is Fueling Our Modern Plagues. It's published by Henry Holt and Company.
When it comes to the human microbiome, you've written that every human being is host to around a trillion bacterial cells, outnumbering their human cells 10 to 1. And in fact, 90% of all the cells in the body and outside of our body aren't human at all. So they're microorganisms. So what is a microorganism? Why do the scientists call the bacteria in our bodies the microbiome?
So microorganisms are forms of life that are too small to be seen by the naked eye. They can usually be seen under the microscope, and they include things like bacteria and fungi, very small cell organisms. And as you say, most of the cells in the human body are in fact microbes. In fact, they outnumber us 10 to 1, as you've said. It's actually 100 trillion, not 1 trillion, but 100 trillion
wow.
cells are microbes. And these are ancestral. We got a lot of them from our moms, and they got them from their moms, and so on and so forth. It goes all the way back in time.
Now, here's something that really floored me, the size of our microbiome. So what is it? How big is it?
Well, again, the bacterial cells are much smaller than our human cells. So it's been estimated it weighs about 3 or 4 pounds, about the size of our brain. And we think of it as another organ of the body because it's doing a lot of work for us. The microbiome helps train our immune system. It helps us digest food. It makes vitamins for us. It helps defend us against invaders.
So it does so many helpful things. Now, you have just, said that we get our microorganisms from our mother. And why, then, are the first years in children's lives so important when it comes to keeping ourselves in our body living together peacefully?
Right. Well, I'm going to answer your question by saying, first, I'm a member of the AARP, and I'm happy to be talking to members of AARP because they have children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And this book is especially important about them because during the early years of life, that's when babies are developing, it's when children are developing, and we want them to develop in good, healthy ways. And it turns out that the microbes that we get early in life are aiding in that development. And my whole concern, and that's why I called it missing microbes, is that something has gone askew, and our kids aren't getting all the right microbes that they used to get, or they're getting them and they're losing them because of things like very common treatment with antibiotics.
You know, things like earaches.
Well, right. So kids have very commonly have ear infections, and doctors are giving children antibiotics for these ear infections. But we know that about 80% of the ear infections are due to viruses, and antibiotics don't even work. But both the doctors and the patients think, the parents of the patients, think that the antibiotics don't have any biological cost. So they're prescribing antibiotics tremendously. The average child in the United States is probably getting 4 courses of antibiotics in the first 2-3 years of life. That's across every child in the U.S. Some kids are even getting more. By the age of 10, the average child in the U.S. has gotten 10 courses of antibiotics. By the time they're 20, they've gotten 17 courses of antibiotics. Now, in contrast, in Sweden, they're using 40% of the antibiotics we're using. That means that 60% of the antibiotics we're using are unnecessary. And this is happening at childhood, young adulthood, at older adulthood. The Swedes, who are just as healthy as we are, and maybe even healthier, are using much less antibiotics.
And I guess they're doing, they've really gone on a campaign in France to lower the use of antibiotics, something that we are sorely not doing.
Yeah, well, we're starting there. We're starting there, but we have a long way to go. And again, the reason the French are doing this is that they use a tremendous amount of antibiotics too. And if antibiotics were free, then there'd be no problem. But we and others are finding that there are more and more costs to antibiotics, which is why I wrote Microbes to inform the general public about this, that they're not free, and that my concern is that many of the diseases that are starting in childhood, like obesity and juvenile diabetes and allergies and food allergies, these are all being fueled by the changes in our microbiome, our children's microbiome, driven by all this antibiotic use.
Now, being a scientist, how do we know we're losing some of these healthy microbes? I mean, has there been any research done, and why is diversity in our bacteria so important?
Well, we know that forests and grasslands that are diverse are very hardy. They can withstand all kinds of changes in the environment. They can withstand invaders of different kinds of species. But when you lose diversity, you lose that kind of resilience. And so that's one of my concerns, is that we'll lose resilience. But there have been scientific studies now that have looked at the diversity in the intestinal tract of the microbes that are present, and we have much less diversity than people in developing countries. And it's been estimated that we've lost 30 to 40% of our diversity already. It's kind of been silent under the radar screen. But we're concerned that this is will risk for diseases that sometimes elderly people get, such as C. diff infections involving their intestines.
And there's another really frightening superbug out there called MRSA, and you can pronounce it for me, but why is this bacteria so scary, and what can we do to protect ourselves against it?
Well, this bacteria, MRSA, or methicillin-resistant Staph aureus, is an antibiotic-resistant bacteria. It arose in hospitals where they use a lot of antibiotics, and it can cause very, very serious infections. And what's important is that in recent years, it's not just in people who are in hospitals. It's spread out into the community. So the question is, why is this organism spreading? And my idea is that it's because we've lost some of our natural barriers against these bacteria. The loss of diversity, in fact, may be playing a role.
Now, what's so helpful about your book, Dr. Blaser, is the fact that not only do you spell out the problems we're having maintaining the number of good bacteria we need, but you also offer some common sense solutions. And so can you tell us about some of the constructive things that we need to implement in our country?
Well, the first thing is that, as I said, people who have mild illnesses should not be taking antibiotics. They should not. Please give me an antibiotic, because they're not without cost. And this is people at really all different ages. Another thing for parents, if the doctor says your child doesn't need an antibiotic, they shouldn't feel deprived. They should insist, we want an antibiotic. Another point that I want to bring up is that the rate of cesarean sections has just gone up dramatically in years. It used to be 10% of all births were by C-section. Most recently, it was a third of all babies born in the United States were by C-section. Again, everybody's thinking that C-sections are free biologically, but we have evidence that that transfer of microbes to moms, from moms to babies, is altered when there are C-sections. So these are some issues. Another issue is the hand sanitizers that everybody seems to be using. We're using it by the tens of millions of applications every day. There isn't really any evidence that this is any good for us. And my concern is that it's removing the good bacteria, not just the bad bacteria. And in the long run, I don't know whether we're doing more good or more harm. When it's flu season, these hand sanitizers are important. When people are in hospitals, they're important. But for the other 95% of the times, they may be doing more harm than good.
That's Dr. Martin Blaser, the director of the Human Microbiome Program at New York University. His book is titled Missing Microbes, How the Overuse of Antibiotics is Fueling Our Modern Plagues, published by Henry Holt & Company. And, of course, the interview was conducted by the host of our program, Carol Marks. Carol returns in just a moment, talking with Sheila Weller, best known for her bestseller, Girls Like Us. And she has a new book out that I think you'll find very interesting. She talks about women in the media, and it's fascinating indeed. Carol Marks will be conducting that interview next when A Touch of Grey continues.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on MatchingDonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. MatchingDonors.com improves those odds by finding living altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to MatchingDonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's MatchingDonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security web pages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
For Touch of Gray in Washington, D.C., I'm Suzanne Hannis. New guidelines from the National Institute of Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism for persons 65 and older reveal that if women drink more than 7 drinks per week or greater than 3 drinks per occasion, and men 14 drinks per week or greater than 4 drinks per occasion, you're at risk for illness or injury. As the body ages, the tolerance to alcoholic beverages decreases. Literally, at 65 and older, you're unable to process alcoholic beverages as, say, a person that is 45. Alcoholic overuse and intolerance can worsen mental confusion, problems with balance and falls, depressive disorders, dehydration, inadequate nutrition, adverse interaction with some medications, and can lead to social isolation. One drink is 12 ounces of beer, 5 ounces of wine, or 1.5 ounces of liquor, or the amount in a shot glass. Are you ready to acknowledge that at age 65 and older, that fewer than 7 drinks per week or 1 drink per day is the limit and offers you the advantages of leading a healthier and safer lifestyle? I'm Suzanne Hannis. Find out more at PremierGeriatricRN.com.
When we ran out, we stopped using it.
Why would you stop?
Why undo all the good that's been accomplished? We thought everything was fine, and that was not a good thing.
No.
He started stinking. It was awful.
Shedding comes back, loss of hair, lots of dandruff.
Scratching will return. His shedding will increase.
If I ever took Roy off of Dynavite, he would go back to his hair loss.
DINOVITE.com.
859-428-1000.
When I get down to the bottom of my box of Dynavite,
when I get to about 3/4.
Oh, no. I've got a couple more scoops.
It's time to place my order. Dynavite.com.
Each and every day, she is getting that Dynavite.
The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
The digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
Just feed your dog right. Use Dynavite. If it's working, don't quit.
Don't do what I did and run out.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
Continuing now with A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and here again is Carol Marks, the host of the program, in conversation now with Sheila Weller. She's the author of the bestseller Girls Like Us, which is about Joni Mitchell, Carole King, and Carly Simon. And now she's going to talk to Carol about her latest book, The News Sorority, Diane Sawyer, Katie Couric, Christine Amanpour, and the ongoing, imperfect, complicated triumph of women in TV news, published by Penguin.
You go on to say that one of the motivating factors that kept these three wonderful newswomen passionately pursuing a major career as an on-air TV anchor and journalist was the fact that they each had a personal loss that each of them had experienced. So I wondered if you would tell us what the loss was and how that affected them.
Right. Well, I wanted to do an opening chapter that really humanized them and also showed not just that they survived a loss, but that they bounced back immediately. Whether they felt it or not, they had to. And that's a huge part of the work that they do. You, the news is your boss. You have to go out there and objectively tell the news no matter what happened in your life 5 minutes before. So with Diane Sawyer, it was the sudden death of her father when she was 23. It was a mysterious death. His car plummeted off an overstate, and some people thought he committed suicide. And she went back to her job as a newswoman at a TV station really quickly and learned from that you can, to use her words, turn your pain into purpose. That was very important. With Katie, it was that when she finally got over the death of her tragic death of her husband, Jay Monahan, from colon cancer, when she was just ready to do a live appearance on the Jay Leno show, and you can't fake that. That's live. You're slotted to do it. Literally minutes before that, she heard from her adored older sister that her sister had pancreatic cancer. She, you know, swallowed that horrible news, that ironic news, and yet she pulled herself together and went out to meet Jay's audience and be charming, funny Katie. She had to do it. Had to do it. No choice. Christiane Amanpour was almost killed by the Taliban. That was before we even knew who the Taliban were. It was 1997, right after she got engaged, after she'd fallen in love, after years of putting her career totally first. This Taliban guy was circling her and making a gesture for hours. They were finally rescued by the UN, or somebody, I forget who it was. They were rescued miraculously. And she and her TV crew, her reporting crew, discovered that the Taliban were so gang that couldn't shoot straight like that they left their cameras running. They left Christiane's crew's cameras running. So they got the footage of it. And like 20 minutes after she escaped 2 hours of these death threats, she's laughing with the guys in the room that they got the footage. So those stories show loss and risk that these women went through, and which you know, upped their, you know, made them more humane. They were already humane, but this is, you know, personal things they went through that gave them a sense of the news that was very personal, but also the fact that they immediately snapped back and did their jobs.
You're wonderful of resilience. Now, you've also written, and you put it so well, that
yes,
women
yes.
journalists are not held to a different set of standards, but rather to an additional set.
Yes.
And that's all about looks, age, hair, and clothes. So it's a bottom line that if a woman journalist who's appearing on television doesn't have her appearance down right as others think it, mm-hmm. that she's going to pay a price.
Yes, well, you know, Christiane certainly felt it for the longest time. They said, you have dark hair, you're too foreign-looking, you have an English accent, you don't wear enough makeup, you know, and she pushed through that. There are really good, I mean, these three women are iconic, and they're also kind of glamorous. They are, and I chose them for that reason. So you can say that I was using a double standard, too. I mean, I didn't write about Martha Raddatz or the two terrific women who do the PBS NewsHour. They are outstanding journalists, but they don't have that star quality. So, yes, women are held to that other standard. But I also learned when the book, The Galleys, came out this summer, that they're held to an additional standard that I thought had kind of gone away, which is anything aggressive and tough that a woman does is considered bitchy and a catfight and a horrible mark against her character, whereas men who do the same things, it's par for the course. He's competing. He's doing his job. So they're really also held to the standard of you have to be nice. And if you are competing for the news in a incredible, ratings and advertising money rat race like morning TV is, and running around the world, you know, to follow these stories and get them first, you can't always be nice. And yet women are expected to be nice.
Oh, you know, very good point. And talk about pure, unadulterated sexism. Well, of course, I know how much it exists. I was so shocked by a comment that she wrote when a CBS News executive vice president, and he had his mic open.
Yes.
And he asked which female anchor looks worse without makeup, Sawyer or Corrigan?
Yes, here's what he was working. He was a producer, Paul Friedman. He was working for Katie. He was her producer, one of her producers, when she was the anchor and managing editor of CBS Evening News. He had also worked for Diane at primetime. So he'd worked for both of these women. He said over an open mic, the only person who I've seen who looked worse than Katie Kirk without her makeup on was Diane Sawyer. And
I would
everybody
have fired
in the newsroom
him.
Heard that.
Did he get fired?
No.
Oh, my God. Well, that makes it worse.
It does, yeah.
Definitely.
Later he did, you know, everybody on that show, you know, rotated around, but he didn't get fired, no.
No, I have to say, I love the gossipy tidbits in your book, and I'm only going to mention one, because our listeners will have to buy the book and find out all the other ones that I enjoyed. And that was, I was amazed to learn that Jackie Onassis was unhappy when Mike Nichols fell for and started dating Diane Sawyer.
Right.
She was possessive. I guess she really liked him.
Yes, that was a good one. I some of those were a lot of fun to acquire, you know. This came from somebody who has known Mike for 50 years and was in his sort of inner circle of very arty theatrical people. And she, you know, told me that. Somebody else told me, too, somebody who knew Mike very well. Two people told me that. Yeah. He was very much the thinking woman, the glamorous thinking woman's catch in those days.
Wow. Now, let's talk about reality today, because it certainly has been a shock to me that the fact that these three women 4 years ago occupied, you know, half the top news slots, and what's happened to them now, how did it happen, and most important, why did it happen?
Why did it happen, right. Well, you know, in terms of the 6:30 news, yes, a few years ago, Diane and Katie were both anchoring, so two out of the three 6:30 news anchors were women. That was unheard of, would have been unheard of just, you know, a decade earlier or 15 years earlier. People at CBS ended up saying it openly in Katie's last couple of years. The audience, which is a shrinking audience, nothing wrong with older demographics, were, you know, but the male older audience for 6:30 News wants a white man in that 6:30 chair. They want a Cronkite, even if he's not a Cronkite. Brian Williams is not, but people say he is because whatever. So that was definitely, that's a sexism. Diane did a very good job at World News Tonight. David Muir, when he sat in for her, when he substituted for her, that is when the ratings went up and they were competitive against Brian Williams. That's very ironic. Katie just never could get over her being pegged as a morning girl next door sweetheart, even when the public turned against her because, horror of horrors, you know, 10 years after she was a widow, she was wearing fashionable clothes and having dates. But when she got to that chair, even though men like Tom Brokaw and Charlie Gibson had gone from morning to evening, she couldn't get over the, what's Katie Couric doing, you know, in Walter Cronkite's chair.
That's Sheila Weller in conversation with Carol Marks, and her book is titled The News Sorority. Diane Sawyer, Katie Couric, Christine Amanpour, and the ongoing imperfect, complicated triumph of women in TV news, published by Penguin. You're plugged into A Touch of Gray. It continues in just a moment.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on MatchingDonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. MatchingDonors.com improves those odds by finding living, altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to MatchingDonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's MatchingDonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security web pages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
This is a Driving Today Minute. Even though high gasoline prices have moderated somewhat, they're still quite high. It just makes good sense to do what you can do to reduce your fuel costs. The Alliance to Save Energy suggests a few easy things you can do.
Keep your car properly tuned up and change the air filter regularly, both to save gas and protect your engine. Curtail aggressive driving, according to the U.S. Department of Energy. Speeding, rapid acceleration, and hard braking waste gas and curb mileage by as much as 33% at highway speeds.
So nix the jackrabbit starts and opt instead for slow acceleration from a dead stop. Slow down. The DOE says each mile per hour you drive over 60 is like paying an extra 10 cents per gallon. Inflate tires to the proper pressure. This will increase fuel economy and make tires safer and extend their life.
This Driving Today Minute is brought to you by Bridgestone Firestone Tires. You can get more information like this at drivingtoday.com or by visiting our partners such as autobytel.com, motorsportsforum.com, and more.
You're listening to A Touch of Gray. Check out our website at atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E. That's atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only.
Engine.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to godirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do. And I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Carol Marks is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marks offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marks is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
If you plan to apply for Social Security disability benefits, there are things you can do to help speed up the usual 3 to 5 month wait for a decision. The more information you provide up front, the less time it'll take us to obtain the needed evidence, and the faster the decision can be made. Information like medical records or documentation, the names, addresses, and phone numbers of your doctors and medical facilities, information on your past employment, and more. To be prepared, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/disability and select Disability Starter Kits.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and we're going to be joined in just a few minutes by our senior correspondent Richard Neer in conversation with Dr. Judith Jones, a spokesperson on elder care for the American Dental Association, and she's going to talk about some specific oral health concerns of older Americans. That's coming up next. And between now and then, I want to play a song for you. That's right, occasionally we play a song, like maybe once every 3 years on this show. And I'm going to play a song for you by a group called Gun Hill Road. They used to be together back in the 70s. They had a big hit single back when my hair was short. And they went their separate ways. And they recently got back together after 40 years, have a new album called Every 40 Years. They're in their mid-60s. And there's a great tune on this 19-track album called Everything Passes. And it is so apropos, especially when we're going to be talking about oral health concerns of older Americans. This deals with everything. Listen to this song, Gun Hill Road, Everything Passes.
Sometimes I think I'm alone. I think I'm the only one who's ever gotten old. But I should have known that it's the same sob story I was always told. But just like everybody else, I didn't listen when they whined. I had to find out for myself. You lose your body and your mind. Oh, everything passes.
Isn't that a great song? I knew you would like it. It's called Everything Passes from Gun Hill Road. The new album is called Every 40 Years. If you'd like more information about Gun Hill Road, maybe you'd like to check out the album, go to their website, great website, and it's gunhillroadmusic.com, gunhillroadmusic.com. I'm Michael Harrison. Coming up next, Richard Neer, information about elder care from the American Dental Association with Dr. Judith Jones. That's next on A Touch of Gray.
Hi, this is Morgan Freeman. Has anyone ever said, you're the picture of health? You look healthy, you feel fine, but that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. Since it doesn't always cause symptoms, you may not know you have it. The only way to know is by getting screened. Screening can find precancerous polyps, so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. This is one cancer you can prevent. Plus, screening can find colorectal cancer at an early stage, when the chance for a full recovery is very high. Talk with your doctor and get tested for colorectal cancer. Medicare and many insurance plans help pay for screening. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
She's conquered some of the most challenging ski courses anywhere, but with only one leg, the odds were against her even walking.
The growth was stunted in my right leg when I was born, and the doctors told my mother we needed to amputate when I was 5 years old.
Bonnie was helped at a Shriners Hospital, one of a network of 22 hospitals helping kids throughout North America. Shriners Hospitals provide world-class orthopedic and burn medical care, and they offer that care totally free of charge.
The care and treatment the Shriners gave me was a gift. It wasn't just about learning to walk. They helped me to believe in myself.
There's a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area realize their dreams.
If I went back to the Shriners Hospital and talked to the nurses and doctors, I would say thank you. Thank you for making my dreams come true.
If you know a child they could help, call 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, giving help and hope to kids for over 80 years.
For Touch of Gray in Washington, D.C., I'm Suzanne Hannis. It is important to address a personal emergency response system in your home in case of falls or injuries. AARP encourages their use for many older Americans to enhance independence and security, especially for those living alone. Many brands of PERS are available on the market, and seniors should consider their specific needs and budget before deciding on a system. The Federal Trade Commission provides free online information. One can get a system as basic as wearing a necklace or bracelet and push a button that will transmit to an installed response center through your landline telephone. In the event of an emergency with falls, chest pain, a suspected intruder, a press of the button will have a 911 ambulance dispatched to your home, even if you cannot reach your phone. PERS systems can be rented or purchased through local hospitals and are affordable and serviced by representatives. I'm Suzanne Hannis. Find out more at PremierGeriatricRN.com.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair. And here's Richard Neer, our senior correspondent, as promised, in conversation with Dr. Judith Jones, talking about teeth. And certainly we all know that when we get to this point in life, that's one of the parts of our biological hardware that starts to go soft, and it can be very complex indeed. Dr. Jones is a spokesperson on elder care for the American Dental Association, and she's going to talk to Richard right now about some specific oral health concerns of older Americans. So here now is Richard Neer in conversation with Dr. Judith Jones on A Touch of Gray.
So Dr. Jones, what particular problems do seniors have in terms of dental care? I know that I must admit I let some time lapse between the last time I went to the dentist a few years ago, and I was pretty surprised by some of the changes in philosophy in dental research over the years.
So checkups are so important, and that's certainly a major leg of the stool for making sure that you have good dental health. But I think the most important thing is what you do every day, brushing your teeth twice a day for 2 minutes, using a fluoride toothpaste, and then making sure you floss every day to clean in between your teeth. This is important because as we all know, seniors are keeping their teeth more than ever before, and with these teeth that they're keeping, they're at higher risk for tooth decay and gum disease. And so it's really important to have a good daily care regimen.
Absolutely. And gum disease is particularly interesting because I was found years ago to have some pockets. And they actually measure the pockets now, and of course, these can be infected, and you can have some serious other health ramifications with these infections.
Certainly, and people with diabetes, for example, are at higher risk for having gum disease, and their gum disease tends to progress more rapidly. So it is really important to maintain the periodontal care on a regular basis. And people with gum disease need to go to the dentist more often. There are medications that you can place in the pockets if the gum disease isn't healing properly, but the proper maintenance care is so critical to keeping your teeth if you have gum disease.
And interesting, they recommend electric toothbrushes. This is something that I hadn't used until fairly recently, but apparently they do a much more thorough job of getting down into those little cracks and crevices.
Right, and electric toothbrushes are excellent for people who have difficulties cleaning their teeth for any reason. If you have arthritis, if you have Parkinson's disease or dementia, or have had a stroke, they're particularly good. But they're good for anybody who has difficulty maintaining excellent oral hygiene on their own with a manual brush.
Now, are there any particular toothpastes or dental care dentifrices that are recommended for seniors, perhaps more than people of a little younger age?
Any toothpaste that has the American Dental Association seal of acceptance and has fluoride is one that I would recommend. The seal of acceptance is the ADA's way to tell the consumers that this is a good product, that it works in the way that, that it claims to work.
And what about teeth cleaning? A lot of times I get the feeling that dentists are trying to tell you have it done four times a year, twice a year, once a year. What would you recommend for somebody who takes pretty good care of their teeth in terms of actual dental cleaning?
So the frequency of dental cleaning depends on your risk for dental disease. So if you're at higher risk for dental disease, and anybody who has gum disease is at higher risk, anybody with dental decay is at higher risk, then you need to see the dentist more often. If you haven't had a cavity in the last 3 years and your teeth and gums are in good shape, you might need to be seen less often. But this is something that you need to discuss your care plan and your preventive plan with your dental team at the office.
Now, you mentioned flossing, and that is very, very important, obviously. What kind of flossing products? I mean, last time I went to the dentist, they gave me a little goodie bag of all different kinds. Which do you find to be the most effective?
So, you know, some people are all thumbs, and so I personally prefer just a strand of floss, but many people have difficulty manipulating the floss, and so there are floss products now with the floss that's mounted on a stick, and it makes it easier to use. I think whatever works best for you, whatever cleans your teeth best, is a discussion that you should have with your dental team, with your hygienist or your dentist, to see which one is really most effective for you. And different products are better for different situations. So it's really an individualized call.
Where can our listeners go for more information?
Your listeners can go to mouthhealthy.org, that's mouthhealthy.org, and that's on the American Dental Association's website, where they have tips for people of all ages in how to keep their mouth healthy.
Very good information indeed. That's Dr. Judith Jones in conversation with Richard Neer. She's a spokesperson on elder care for the American Dental Association. And if you'd like more information, here's where you go. Go to mouthhealthy.org, mouthhealthy.org. And thank you, Richard Neer. Richard Neer is one of our senior correspondents here on A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. You hear anything on the program you want to find out more about, you want to hear something again, or you want to check out our archives for some great interviews or information about Carol Marks, the host and founder of the program, go to the website atouchofgray.com. Gray is spelled with an E. I'm Michael Harrison. Some final words coming up on A Touch of Gray in just a moment. We'll be right back.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only.
Retrievers, Labradors, Goldens are the main breeds that come through our door, but we'll train anything with four legs and a tail. My husband and I train hunting dogs and also have a boarding and grooming business. And our dogs, they're athletes, and we feed a very quality food. You can't get enzymes in a commercial dog food because they cook it at such a high heat, but adding Dynavite to their diet has every single dog in my kennel looking better than they have ever looked.
DINOVITE.com.
859-428-1000.
The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
The digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
Dynavite's the bomb.
We tell everybody we know about Dynavite.
Just feed your dog right. Use Dynavite. If it's working, don't quit.
When I get down to the bottom of my box of Dynavite, it's time to place my order.
Dynavite.com.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com. Whoa, a digital music player. Thanks, Mom.
Glad you like it. We can finally toss out that old massive stereo.
Mom, you can't just throw out electronics. They need to be recycled or donated.
Recycled? Like aluminum cans?
Yeah. You just go to greenergadgets.org, enter your zip code, and it tells you where the nearest certified recycling center is.
I knew that.
Okay, Mom.
Recycling electronics is as easy as buying them. Log on to greenergadgets.org to find electronics recycling options near you.
For Touch of Gray in Washington, D.C., I'm Suzanne Hannis. You may recognize the symptoms of elderly depression, loss of appetite, weight loss, social withdrawal, problems with hygiene, neglecting personal well-being, or even a sadness that lasts over 2 weeks. Sound familiar? Here's what you can do about it. Exercise, eat well, and don't forget to socialize. Researchers at Duke University suggest exercising at least 3 times a week to keep the body and mind healthy. That means swimming, walking, and maybe light exercise classes with the approval of your medical doctor. Another key to happiness is maintaining self-esteem through clubs and groups. You might consider the gardening club or a musical choir. And lastly, treat your body well and it will thank you by feeling well. That means practicing good nutrition and eating well-balanced meals daily. Naturally, the needs of patients vary, but feel free to consult a geriatric specialist to make a personalized treatment plan. I'm Suzanne Hannis. Find out more at PremierGeriatricRN.com.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and looking back at the past 2 hours of the program, I do hope that you enjoyed what we do. As you know, being a listener of this show, we are dedicated to providing information, entertainment, stories, inspiration for people who've been around the block a few times. Technically, we're geared to what's called the 50-plus demo. In the media, that means that this program is unashamedly and unabashedly targeted to older folks. Older folks from the standpoint of the way today's media operates. Today's media operates based on the general idea that you want to get younger people to listen. And, hey, I'm all for that. I have nothing against young people, and I certainly understand progress. And, frankly, even though I've been around the sun approximately 66 times in my lifetime, that's right, I've traveled around the sun 66 times, I do try to think with a future orientation, and I try to keep myself thinking youthfully. That being said, this program has been totally devoted to the idea that people over 50 also deserve to have a good radio show. The fact is, there are not a lot of radio shows out there that do this. So I want to salute Carol Marks, the host and founder of the program, who more than 20 years ago came up with this show. And it's been on the air in syndication and locally for more than 2 decades. Under the radar, not one of the most famous shows you'll ever hear, but it certainly does do a good job, and we're all proud to be part of it. And as earlier, when I played the song from the rock band Gun Hill Road, three gentlemen in their 60s, Glenn Leopold, Steve Goldrich, and Paul Reich, They had a couple of hit records. They had a hit single and a couple of hit albums back in the early 70s, and they went their separate ways. And they came back 40 years later to fulfill or to continue their youthful passion of making music together. And they recorded this album, and it's out there. It's not going to be a big hit, but it's certainly getting played in some radio stations. And it's an inspiration to hear music that's geared to a mature sensibility. The theme of this that I'm trying to drive home is that we want you, as well as we want ourselves, to constantly be inspired to continue to go forward, to be bold, be brave, be aggressive, and don't be afraid to pursue your passion. Even if you're retired, even if you're 70, 75, 80, keep yourself in the best possible physical and mental condition you can, and don't just, you know, suffer from atrophy. Get out there. Follow your heart. Follow your interest. Paint. Write. Write a novel. Write poetry. Do drawings. Volunteer at a hospital. Help your neighbors. Spend time with your grandchildren. Go for a walk. Join a study group. Join a talk, a gathering. There are so many groups out there. There are so many things to do. And live your life to the fullest, because at this stage in your life, you are probably, you may be a little weaker, your teeth may be falling out, your eyesight might be failing, but you've never been as smart, you've never been as wise, you've never been as seasoned as you are now. And what a waste to allow the culture in which we live to define you as being old and over the hill. That is absolutely a total waste of the most valuable resource, and that is the human spirit and human potential, human consciousness. So I encourage you from the bottom of my heart, on behalf of all of us here, to be the best you can be till the very last moment. And that's really what our mission is. I'm Michael Harrison. I want to thank Carol Marks, the host and founder of the program, for putting it all together and continuing to do such a good job. On days when she has aches and pains, and just like the rest of us, she's out there working as hard as she can to make this show happen. It's her passion. Thank you, Beverly Santanello, our producer on the front line. Thank you, Richard Neer and Steve Wiseman and Kevin Casey, our senior correspondents. And most of all, thank you, our listeners, for giving us the support you have over the years. Remember, we're at atouchofgray.com. Gray is spelled with an E. I'm Michael Harrison, inviting you to join us next weekend right here for another 2-hour installment of A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups.